You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter and chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you. Thank you. Deal with our heads and hearts and all the rest of it. And our God will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. As we have been plowing along since March or so, remember all the messages. We used to four different books or something, five different things going all at once. And we haven't done that. Each thing is connected. So tonight's connected to Wednesday. Wednesday's connected to Sunday. So I'm building. I've been building the building. So you need to know that so that you can come in. If you come in two times later, you miss two parts. So you're trying to pick up a part, and it won't fit quite as well as if you had each piece. Each piece goes together. So I just share that with you. Now, in the light of that, we have shared on Wednesday, in the light of our little journey, to remember that God, that us humans, travel down the corridor of time, and everyone has their time and their season to exist in whatever age and conditions they find themselves. And the people living 100 years ago, in the days of the colonies, they would have found one kind of condition in our country. And they had to live through that. We are at this point in history, and we must exercise our existence in this point of history. It's our turn at this time. So here we are. And everyone through history has a measure of hope. We shared that again. Hope is what is the key word. Why? Because hope, you can't say here and now, because here and now becomes there and then. And before the clock has gone 5 minutes, you've moved. And it doesn't stop. So you can never claim this moment as it, because it isn't it. It's always moving. Therefore, the word hope, anticipation, expectation, going forward, moving forward in history. Everything is moving. Now, so that's the word hope. That's a key word. That's what keeps everyone going. The trouble is that us humans are trying to hope, and we find hope on planet Earth. We're stuck in darkness, dead in sins, darkness and death, and the midst of evil, the absence of God, the absence of good. Now, in the process of that, as we go down the corridor of time, where can we do? Well, we try to live one day at a time, and we illustrated it forever. I'll use it again, a little book just to help you again. Now, remember now, here's everyone lives in their particular point of time, and in the process, that's what they do. They don't have, here's today, they don't have tomorrow. They're here. On this part. They don't have this yet. So all they can do, they can look at their past by history and live this little bit. They have no idea. And everyone else around them, no matter what they do, no matter where they are, is living the same point of history that they are. So who are you going to go to find out about tomorrow? There's no one there. There's no one there. So us humans are stuck So we're hoping. What is hope? Hope is moving here. And so I hope we don't see this. All we see is this. And we hope and we estimate and we predict and we try to figure it out. And some things we can expect. I'm going to get a paycheck maybe next week. Maybe not. But we can expect that. We can say hope, but I expect to get one. Make believe. So we can do that, but it's always the measure of hope in it. In my expecting, which is the word hope, anticipating, expecting something. So we're moving forward. And we have that. So all humans, God, what are you going to say to us? We read it on Wednesday and all of that. God, what are you going to say in Ephesians? We are of those humans without God that have no hope. We don't have any hope because we don't know. And we read in James, remember, we did that on Wednesday, all those different things. If you think you're going to say, I'm going to thus and thus tomorrow, you fool, because you don't know that. You have no knowledge of that, James chapter 4. And you end up sinning because you're thinking you're going to predict and know, and you don't know. You hope so. You don't know so. So, us humans, here we are. We're stuck. And then we go to the end here, death. And we're stuck for sure. That's a big stop sign. Because what are we going to do? We can't talk to anyone that died. We have no idea that when we die, what's going to happen to us. We don't know that, apart from God. So we're stuck. So our hope is very limited. And we really, really, as we go down the core of time, don't go very far. Now, in 1 Peter, I don't want to... In the prompt, anyway. 1 Peter, we share together. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you understand, Romans 10, 9 and 10, we did all those things. And we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead and thou should be saved. So what do? Christ died for me and took my sin and made forgiveness possible and a relationship possible. He rose again to certify and make sure that relationship would work. And therefore, what do? I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who rose again from the grave. And with my heart, I believe that Christ rose again from the grave. I don't believe Christ died. That's why I believe Christ rose, because he died for me. I can't believe in a risen Christ if he didn't die. And the reason he died is because he rose again, so I could have a relationship to him. And that's a wonderful relationship that God makes possible. How? By his resurrection. Now hang on. Therefore, chapter 1, verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten, made it possible, for us again unto a living, lively hope. Where do we get this hope? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the hope that we get is found in the person of Jesus Christ who went and died on the cross. That's where our hope is found. So here's our hope on planet Earth, and we hope to go to school, we hope to get a job, we hope to do this, we hope to do that, we hope to this week, we have all of these hopes, how we live. And we have that. And all of those hopes are limited because we can't see. So when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, God does a wonderful thing for us. He reestablishes the relationship that you have that's missing. God made you spirit, soul, body. He made you to be able to enjoy him. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God made us special. So when I come to know the Lord as my Savior, God brings light, the candle that we share, the candle of the Lord, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God lights the candle. God makes the relationship work. So on my earthly thing, I'm this. But now that I've come to know the Lord as my Savior, I have a whole, where's my hope? Well, it isn't hoping this is going to happen. No, I don't know that. But I do know where I am. And my hope, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is now I don't know this. But I do know where my hope is. My hope is in God, who gave me eternal life, a unique relationship to God. And that's where my hope is. So my hope's locked in now, not down here, not down here, because God saved me and gave me his wonderful resurrected life. Now, yeah, sliding over if I can to verse 20. God saves us by his precious blood, verse 19. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained to know ahead of time, before the foundation of the world, we shared the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, so you don't have to guess. Always keep saying it, God, so we get it. The key to everything is the lamb slain. God's going to do something wonderful to glorify himself. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, made clear, public, plain, in these last times for you. So God, we aren't like Moses having to look for your coming. You already have come and gone to the cross and died and rose again. And we're able to look to that. We're able to understand that. So God, you did a wonderful thing for us. That's right. Now God, what do we know about you? Well, God, you are the eternal God. And we're going to do it, so just hang on. God gives us a wonderful relationship to God. The relationship to God is marked with what? What word? We read in verse 3, God has begotten us unto a lively hope, a risen hope, a living hope. The living hope, life, is eternal life, a living hope. So God has given us a wonderful relationship to God by way of the resurrection, and it involves a wonderful expectancy, anticipation for good, looking right and real for the good. Now, God, why is our hope transferred from here to there, to you? We're in your presence. Hang on, that's an awesome thing. We don't realize it. Do you realize how rare humans are? How rarely humans enjoy being in the presence of God, which you can't leave. And I think about that, you do too, I'm sure. They don't enjoy God. God made us to enjoy him, and the world, oblivious to him. Therefore, they don't know, because they're trying to make it down here on planet Earth. So what do we know, God, about your hope? Well, God, you're the God of eternity, and you said, our hope is in God, from whence cometh our wonderful, comes your grace and your mercy. So, God, here we are looking to you. Now, before, what do we know about you? You are the eternal God. When you get saved, God puts in your heart a unique relationship to himself, to God's person. God is eternal. He has no time. So, what do I need to understand? Why are you telling me, God? And you're going to say it. We're going to do it if I can get there. Over and over again, why do you keep saying it? We're resting in the God of hope, the God of hope, the hope of God. Why are we resting in that? Because, God, you have given us, when we get saved, a unique relationship to yourself. Now, God, we don't know. Here we are. Here's time, Genesis 1:1, Revelation 21. Here we are, time. Now, before time ever was, before time, God. Now, God, so when Moses comes along, Moses is God's penman, and he's his penman to write. Now, Moses, how can you know about anything? Genesis in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How can you know? Well, God, because it's already here, the whole thing, is here. So God, he's going to write down all that you tell him. Moses, were you ever there? Did you know this? No, God's giving it to me because he knows it. He is the eternal God. There is no time. So God, when you're giving Moses, Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, etc., you could have given him Revelation 21 and 22, a new heavens and a new earth, because they're just as real. And I shared it on Wednesday in that. I'm standing back now, and if I can imagine eternity, there is no time. No more time. No more time. I'm standing there, and I have this, and I have Moses. They have to experience history. I already know it all. So when I write about Moses, Moses can already write about the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's Abraham. Abraham, you got to live. Do you know about Moses? No. Moses, Abraham just lives. Moses, Abraham doesn't have Moses. Moses, do you have David? David. Moses, no, David. David, do you have Jeremiah? No. Paul and Peter, do you have, Paul and Peter, do you have where we are today? No, here we are today. It's our turn. Well, that's history. And this is history. It's all there. But God, you see it all. So I've told you how many times over the years when we read the Bible and I read Jeremiah. Think of when we're doing Jeremiah. We do Jeremiah and we're reading about the Nebuchadnezzar and all those different things that are coming in. And wow, wow. And what? Why? Why is it wonderful? Because we're in the presence of God, and Jeremiah and Nebuchadnezzar are right now to him real. All at once. All at once. So as we're trusting God about Jeremiah, God sees the whole thing. Now, God, why are we going to look to you? Because you already know. You already know. That's what we're going to do. Foreknowledge. You foreknow. Foreknew. So what's our hope? Our hope is in you, God. Why? Because you already know. We don't know. God, you do know. I don't know 10 minutes from now. God does. That's why we're trusting. Where's our hope? It isn't trying to figure out 10 minutes from now because we haven't got there. So our hope is in God, in his presence. There is no days, time. It's all done. And you're going to say, well, I don't know you. Why should you understand it? You're an earthling, same as all of us. What are you trying to do? You're trying to exercise what you don't have. You can't, it's an old illustration we used 100 years ago. You cannot hear FM on your radio if there isn't FM there. You can have AM, but to go to FM, it won't pick it up unless it's frequencies on there. And you got to have FM. God made you spiritual to be able to get saved, to have FM. When you get saved, you have a unique relationship to God to practice FM. So we have AM to listen to, and we do all the time. But God, our hope isn't in AM because we don't know it. Where are we going to look? To FM. And God, we're going to look to you because there is no time. So why are we going to trust you? Period. Because you're the only one that has all the pieces together. I don't have them. You couldn't possibly know. Your heart's going to beat. Your lungs are going to fill up with air, et cetera, et cetera. You're going to do all of that. And you're going to do all of that as you travel in the next day, 24 hours. But you and I haven't got there 24 hours from now. God already knows exactly how many heartbeats will have happened in the next 24 hours in your body. God already knows how many heartbeats. You haven't even got there. You couldn't figure it out. Very good. Now, if you had a pacemaker, you could tell the pacemaker to count. What are you doing? I'm trying to help you understand. Why are you telling us, God, to trust you and put our hope in you? Because you've got to understand. This is plain, realistic, the world we live in, science. Does anyone practice what is? We got relativity and quantum mechanics and all of those wonderful things. What are they? Just think quirks and quarks and all those different things. And what are we doing? No, it's an awesome thing. I'm trying to tell you how simple it is and wonderful. That's why God tells us to find our hope in God. Now, in the process, that's what God's going to do. So all of it is there, and I just need to be trusting him because I can't tell you when I'm going to die, but God has it right here. So what am I doing? I'm going to exercise everything, trusting him. I don't know tomorrow. I don't know. God knows. God knows. I have my eyes coming up again. Coming up, fix them, whatever we're going to try to, anyway, process. And doing that. I don't know. How do I know? You know, and I told the doctor, I said, be good cheer. All the operations, I've been through how many operations? I have nothing else except eyes. You'd think somebody else in parts of my body should exist. But no, God just picks in the eyes. Why? Because they're the most important to see God's word. Ah, to see the books. Oh, wow, to cherish. That's the most wonderful thing, to be able to read them. Wow, see them. Now, having said that little bit, so God, here we are going down the corridor of time. We're going to look to you. And in the process, God, and you're going to do what you're going to do, and you know that. Now, having said that, so we'll get into, I think you got enough to get thinking about it. And you do have to think about it. And you think about it until you understand it. And when you understand it, you claim it. Understand? You claim the truth. If you were doing research, a scientist or something, and you had a theory on when they invented transistors, I was going to school, and we had, anyway, you don't need all that stuff. Understand something, and then you pursue it to make it real, to make it work, to make it profitable. That's what you do. God, I want truth to be made profitable in my little life. I want a wonderful thing. Why would you ever waste your time telling me the God of hope? Over, if you would please, in your Bible to see it. Over to, picking up if we can, go over to Colossians. I was just going to go, I'm going to help you read your Bible quickly and watch it over and over and over and over again. Why do you keep saying it? Because it is essential. Otherwise, you're trusting this day by day by day, and you don't know. I hope I can go to school. I hope this will work out my social life, my financial life, my physical life. I don't know. I'm not going to trust that. If I trust that, I'm going to lose because I don't know. And I'm hoping and I'm going by who knows what to figure it out. My desires, my dreams, my ambitions, and all of those are there. But God, you already know tomorrow. So therefore, Colossians, watch it. I'm sorry I confused you a little bit. I hope I didn't. I'm trying to help you grab the truth. How can you live like that? You've got to have truth. Otherwise, you got a Bible that doesn't make any sense. You got a God that isn't practical. I'll trust in God. What's that mean? Well, I can trust in my mother. I trust in the grocery store. I trust in God. He's one of the different ones I trust. That's the trouble. You're trusting them. You're trusting them like you do everything else. You're trusting God like you trust all of them. And they aren't the same. Now, Colossians 1, picking up, please, in verse 27. I want to read verse 26. God's going to tell them. The church right now, you and I have a most unique position. We don't have it like Israel in the past. We don't have it like the tribulation. We don't have it like the kingdom. We have a unique relationship to God directly, to Jesus Christ, to represent his wonderful life, which is what we're looking at, resurrected life. Verse 26, now even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest, public, clear, plain, to his saints, that's us, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, something never understood, never even dreamed of, that you could have such a relationship to God. Impossible, wrong. It always was possible. God made it possible. You just never knew it. God is making it known, a mystery that is now revealed. What is the mystery? Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is rich as the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, that's us guys, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what happened. God brought his eternity into your heart, in your timeless existence. God gave you eternal existence. A relationship to eternity, so every minute we live on planet Earth, we're enjoying it out here. Do you understand? We're living today, watch today, and tomorrow. But all the while that we're living here, we enjoy out here, all the pages. They're all together. There they are, all of them for us, wonderfully so. Now, so therefore, Christ in you, God, where is this hope? In God. Hope thou in God. Christ is our hope. He's the hope of all the future, all that we're going to have. Christ is. Now, sliding over to chapter 1, verse 5, when you introduce writing to the church in Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. For the hope, I got to read verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you, where is this hope? In heaven. It's in heaven. Where is Christ seated? At the right hand of God. Your death, burial, resurrection, seated. You're seated in heavenly places. They're seated there. So you're there, but you're here. That's right. Hang on. Now, the hope, verse 5, which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now, that's good. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, oops, we've got to take it a step further. Verse 23. And in verse 23, if we continue, the word continue is the word to abide. The branch abides in the vine, abide. If you keep abiding, continuing in the faith, the body of truth, to be believed. One is subjective, you're believing. The other is objective, what you are believing. If you continue, abide in the faith, the body of... That's why we're reading. How am I going to know about the God of hope? How am I going to know about the hope of God? God's wonderful hope, I should say. Now, verse 23. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not moved away, and settled in the hope, verse 23, and not moved away, the word, don't want to be moved away, present tense again, from the hope, what am I going to be? Well, I'm going to lose the hope. Because I'm caught up in what? Hoping. I hope it'll, my job will work out. I hope my school will work out. I hope my medicine works. I hope this. I hope this. I hope this. And you forgot this hope. And now you're stuck with this hope, and which you don't have. You never had it. But you're hoping that you'll have it. We shared it on Wednesday. The hope of the hopeless. The helplessness, the hopelessness. People trying to hope. You don't have it. Oh, I do. Baloney, you do. You don't have it. No offense to you guys. You're way ahead of everybody. Now, you got the idea? God. So what are you going to say? Verse 23. Don't be moved away from the hope, present tense, which was preached to every creature which is under the heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. God, I don't want to lose that hope. I thought, could I? Yeah, I could drift away. Sure, I could. Otherwise, I'd be one. Wouldn't I be one dynamic person if you and I could live like that? If we lived out here, if we lived trusting God out here in His presence, and we lived like this, wow, what a different personality you'd have, wouldn't you? Yeah, your idiosyncrasies and all that stuff you got, the way you live, the way you think, the way you feel, all of that, that dominates us. Not God. No, that. So if that dominated us, I don't want to move away. I'm trying to help myself and you guys get a handle on it. I don't want to lose this. I want to understand it and live in it. Therefore, 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, if I can, in chapter 1, if I may, I'm going to go directly in the light of everything, verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, looking to God, and labor of love, okay, and thirdly, the patience of hope. Where is our hope? In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. So where is our hope? Our hope with patience. Well, what's the Thessalonians, why are they being rewarded, noted, recognized? Because of their patience. Word patience, we're going to look at it tonight, all of that. The word patience, and this one I'm looking at, means to hold up under. It means to be able to go and to carry. And what is the carry and the load? So I'm going to keep carrying. I'm not going to get rid of it. I don't want to get out of it. I don't want to get out of it. I want to stay under it, under the load, under the load, under the load. Your patience, bearing up. Are you trying to get out of this? No, sir, God. I'm hanging on. I understand what you told me, to trust you, my God. You're my hope. So my hope isn't here. My hope is with you, God. So I don't want to get out of that. I want to stay there. Now, therefore, the in verse 3, the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, to stay under the load, that's a wonderful thing, to endure hope. I'm trusting God, I'm learning to trust God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I see things, I work with what I see to the best I can, I understand as best I can, use my good common sense as best I can, but looking to God. So therefore, what did it do? Chapter 1, picking up in verse 9. What did this do? For they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. It changed my life. Verse 10. How do you mean? To wait, to be waiting for his Son from heaven, out from the heavens, the plural, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What were they doing? They were looking for the Lord's return. That's what they were doing. So when we slide over to chapter 4, chapter 4 in Thessalonians, and what are we going to find? Well, we rightly so, in verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep that died, that you sorrow not, so they died. There are lots of people die. You have to die. That you sorrow not, even as others which have what? No hope. How do you have any hope for anybody? Well, I hope God helps them. And we say that. I understand that. I've been in places where the priest got up and whatever it is, and they say, yeah, and we'll miss him, and we love him. And I already know that you don't even know the guy, but you'll miss him and love him. Isn't that good? That's good. That's such an encouraging to me sitting there hearing that. You'll miss him and love him. You don't even know him. Wow. No. God, what are you saying? There is no hope once that stops and the body goes in the ground. The minute that heart stops beating and I leave, you know nothing. You can do nothing for me in any way, shape, or form. Whatever is going to be. Whatever here is going to be there, what I've done. That's it. So you can have 10 funerals and 45 different candles and 10 bonfires, whatever you want to have. You can't do one thing. Both have mass, so we'll say, it's a good way to make money. No offense. Burn 25 cents a candle? I don't know what it costs. You know. No, God. You made it clear. It's a clear cut, easy thing. I need to get it. I don't want to escape and be dreaming and vague and floating in my ear. I want to be locked on. How could you do mathematics if you weren't locked on? Would you tell me? You better be locked on if you're going to try to do some mathematical problem, because the facts you got to do, differentiate and all those different, you got to do everything in order. That's what you have to do. But you can play a game, but you can't play it in all kinds of different areas. And when it comes to God, you can't play the game. God doesn't have the game. You're either hot or cold. You're either for him or against him. There's no middle. Now, so chapter 4, they have no hope. And if I kept reading down, I'm going to slide all the way over for time's sake. Verse 18, the Lord's coming at any time. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. God, what's our hope? Our hope is in you, God. Our hope, here we are. And here's our Lord's coming for us. And we're hoping. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for this. That's what we're doing. It's a comforting hope. Because there's no hoping. I'm hoping in the God of hope who's going to bring me to himself. And that, if for what? For me to enjoy his wonderful presence in his timelessness, where I don't have any more hope. I don't need hope anymore. I only need it now. I don't need it then. So God, I'm waiting. I turn the next page. I get closer and closer. Now, over if I can, please, to Titus. If I can, picking up, please, in Titus chapter 1. In hope, I'm just picking. You can read your Bible. Read God's Word. Verse 2. 1:2, Titus. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So we're expecting what? That relationship to be fulfilled. That's what we're looking for. We're waiting for it to happen. Eternal life. Eternal life is eternity. Eternal life is enjoying where God is. When do you have eternal life? The moment you get saved. The moment you get saved, God took you and gave you his wonderful presence. You're in his presence. You're in his presence. And you're in it. So God, that's right. Therefore, eternal life, chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. Like what kind of heirs? What kind of inheritance? According to the hope of eternal life. That's what you have. It's a wonderful thing. But yeah, here I'm dying. I'm living in a body. I'm perishing. You bet. But am I going to see that? I don't know. But God, we aren't looking at body. We aren't looking at anything. We're learning to trust you, who are the God. And all of this is all answered completely forever, all at once. You already know everything all at once, foreknowledge, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know all these things. So that's what I'm looking for, an eternal relationship to you. When did my eternal relationship start? The moment I received you as my Savior. I went from perishing to not perishing. I went from being condemned to not condemned. I went from death to life. I did all of that in one wonderful moment of time. Verse 8. And this is a faithful saying in these things. And I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So God, we're looking to you to outwork this wonderful relationship we have to you in eternity, in God's wonderful eternity. Titus chapter 2. Therefore, are you going to say it again? I am, said God. Chapter 2, verse 13. What are we looking for? Looking for that blessed hope. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. What were you doing, Thessalonians? We're waiting. First Thessalonians 1:10. We're waiting. What are we doing here in Titus 2:13? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for eternal life. Where's eternal life? In him. When are we having it? We already have it. Christ in you, now. Christ in you here, now. True? If you get saved. Christ in you here and now. At the same time, I am there. And if you're saved, so are you. I have to be there. In order for me to have him here, in my heart, here and now, I have to be there now. Understand that? You aren't going to be there. You have to be there. How can you be saved? How on earth can you be saved? Partly? Titus, looking for his blessed hope. Wow. Now, over to Hebrews. Sorry I didn't get any further, but I hope you got a little. We just have to get after each other a little bit because all this stuff isn't like this. We aren't talking about 2 plus 2. We aren't talking about that. We're talking about, and we aren't talking about geophysics or something. We're talking about God. And God is a foreign entity to the average human. They have no sense of God. So their social life, every kind of life, they're busy trying to find it and find friends and find security, find a surety. You're looking for retirement, some of you. And some of you have already found it. What did you find when you retired? That's the question. What did you find? Well, I don't have to get up at 5 o'clock anymore. That's good. You see? No. Now, what we've already found, we already have. God has given it to us. That's why you'll read all those different statements. Be content with what? Such things as you have. How can I? Look at all I got. I don't have. Hold it. You have everything that you have it already in God. That's why God will say to you, 1 Corinthians 3, don't you know that life and death, heaven and hell, they're all yours because they're all God's. And you're in God. And your wonderful anticipations are answered by God because God already knows where you're going. You haven't even got there tomorrow. That's why we're doing this other part of it. Maybe quicker than I think. Anyway, I'm trying to do it tonight. Maybe. Who knows? God knows. Well, chapter 6, picking up, please, as we fumble along. Verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. So how long are we, where's our security? Where's our surety? It's in God's wonderful person. That's where it is. So God, we're looking to you. And what's the admonition all the time? Don't move away. Don't lose it. Don't lose the hope. The reason, the motivation, the moving you through time, thick and thin, easy and hard, terrible times and so-called better times. Moving you through them, because you are going through them. You aren't stopping anywhere. There's no stopping on the journey. So God, I'm going to hang on, looking for my blessed hope for the Lord's return. Therefore, Hebrews, if I can, chapter 6. And again, you know it, and we'll end it here, I guess. Verse 17, wherein God willing, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, verse 17, unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God said, I'm not going to change. What I say is true. God, it cannot lie, like you read in Titus, that by two immutable, unchangeable things, in which it was impossible, cannot happen, that God could lie. No. That's why the Lord, that's why it's wonderful when you read John chapter 14, 1, 2, 3. If it were not so, I would have told you. I've gone to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. But it is so. How can it be? Because of God, it is. So it is. Therefore, by two immutable things, which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, comfort, encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the, and then what? Upon the hope. Patience. Enduring, hanging in there, under the hope. Verse 18, hope set before us. Christ, what are you doing? What are you don't think of all those things. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We shared it last Wednesday. Pursuing the high calling of God. What are we doing? What's the motive? Where are we going? Why do we get out of bed to go to work and have breakfast? No. We do all those things, you know. But there's a higher movement that carries us, breakfast or no breakfast, easy or no day, it carries us. What is it? The hope that is set before us. God, you're calling us. You're there. Here we are here. God's out here. Coming to God. You're coming to me. You're coming to me. Oh, I know that's drifting its way off, isn't it? Yeah. No, it can't be. I understand that, but it is. And if you believe and if you know the Lord as your Savior, it is for real, for real, for real. But I don't understand it. Then you need some help, don't you? Because you're missing out. I'm trying to be a Christian, faithful, faithful, good for you, good for you. Wow. Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Up at God, you're seated in the right hand of God for us, that's right, so that we're seated. Verse 20, whether therefore the forerunner, is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. God, he's seated there, and he's the anchor. Now God, why should I get to heaven? We read it in Peter, verse 9. We're hoping for the final result of salvation. What is the result? To be with him in a unique way. That's what we're going to do as we... And we need to see that. So God, what are we looking for? We're looking to be there. And you're there. And we're there. So God, you want us to finish this. I do. I do. I already know the rest of your life. I already know it. What do you want, God? I want you with me. But you got to finish this. Got to finish this to get this. And that's if I assume I take you. Otherwise, I'm coming to get you all. So I'm going to do. So, what are we doing? We're doing this in the light of God, being who he is. That's what we're doing. God, an anchor. We have an anchor. The days and the hours and the trials and the tests, everything. Like you read in Peter, the trying of our faith. Wow. All of those different things. Trial, test, cometh... purified and by the heat of the furnace, bring forth gold and silver. Wow. So God, we're going through it. That's right. And in the process, I want to finish it. I want to finish it. So can I finish it? Well, God, I'm looking for this. After all, I'm only 15. And I'm looking here, God. I haven't got my first yacht yet. See? I haven't got my first yacht. But God... God said, well, you may never get your first shot. Yacht. First shot of yacht. You'll never get it. I want to take you. But God, that's the main thing. You may or may not get your yacht. But you're going to. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for it all. What are we looking unto? Jesus. He's the anchor. So the ship, we have an anchor. You think of it being a ship at sea. And the anchor goes down to hold. When I saw you all these things, the big anchors on ships, big chains like this, you know. I don't know. Got way down to hold the ship, so the ship goes up and down, up and down. But it doesn't move. Wow. Wow. God, well, you have an anchor. God, I'm going to, don't be moved. We just read it. Don't allow yourself to drift and lose the hope. Don't lose it. I want you to continue on it. Stay abiding. Look to me. I have all the pieces. That's why you trust me in it. Yes, sir. That's why we trust you, God. Why? Because you got all the pieces. You got all the pieces from Moses to the end of the tribulation. And I'm looking to you to help me in my little moment of time. So, God, would you tell me, God, there's nothing missing of all that you're going to do and all that you think. And so you're like in Isaiah, you're infinite. Your wisdom is infathomable. It's we can't even come close to grabbing hold of your infinite knowledge completely, all at once. And I started to say earlier, so our enjoyment of eternal life in God's wonderful heaven, there is no time. And the moment is enjoyed as God does. And in some awesome way, we are going to enjoy God's timelessness. We're so governed by time, but no more. I gotta quit. Appreciate your patience. I hope you got a little bit. Please bear with me. I'll try to get you there. Otherwise, I don't know who else is gonna get you there. I don't know who else even cares or even thinks about it. That doesn't mean there aren't lots of people in the jungles of Brazil or something, but what can I tell you? Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and our homes, our health and our wealth. And God, we do what we do the way we do it because we're so used to doing it, and we're stubbornly and often stupidly, God, we keep doing it. And therefore, we lose out on the enjoyment of being saved. So deal with us. Thank you, God. Spirit of God, help us in all of this. It's way beyond us, God, such wonderful truth, such awesome truth. And therefore, God, you've got to be gracious to us and help us. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.